97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome in. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday morning, the 15th day of October. Can you believe it? Just a couple of weeks away now from Election Day on November 5th. And hopefully you are prepared and you got people, you're talking to your friends and you're ready to get them out there to vote. Encourage them to vote early. Please encourage them to vote early. This ballot is long, and we've said it before, but it bears repeating. It could take you, if you walk into the booth, the ballot booth, the box that you where you vote, if you walk in there unprepared and you have to read all of these little the print is small, first of all. If you have to read all those, and there's 43 issues on there, that includes the candidates, the propositions, the national, local, state election positions that are up, it could take you 45 minutes or an hour to vote. Mm-hmm. Now, think of that times 500 people at your voting location. I mean, there could be long lines on Election Day. Why not mosey on over there starting on the 22nd and get your vote taken care of so you don't have to worry about this?
How many people? I agree there will be long lines, and I'm hoping to vote early myself. But how many people do we think are going to go in there specifically vote for, say, the president and Amendment 3 and then leave?
Maybe quite a few. I mean, that's the thing. I think a ballot that long will discourage some people, and they're like, the low information voters will be like, oh, I haven't had time to research any of this. I'm just going to skip it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'll see pretty large disparities. You'll see the most votes for president probably, and then on those notable propositions or amendments like Amendment 3. That's a good point.
And you might get a lot of votes for, say, a Josh Hawley race or a Cori Bush race here in the city. I mean, I could see those being big races people are going to want to vote on.
Yeah. And if the same people that are only there to vote on, killing babies, the Amendment 3, if they're only there to vote in favor of that, they're probably voting for the other people with a D after their names, which is unfortunate. But it could impact some races. We'll see which ones those are. Turnout is key. Encourage all your friends and neighbors to turn out, please. All right, Carl Middleman, let's get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I mean, I don't think people want to go back to tens of thousands of Americans dying.
Tim Walz there, the master of lockdowns and ratting on your neighbor and wearing face diapers during COVID, is warning that if Donald Trump gets elected, we might go back to tens of thousands of Americans dying from COVID. It just never ends.
Look at where the stars are in the sky. Don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation. What does it show you?
Well, what it shows me is that the lights are on, but nobody's home. And this is another rambling answer with a podcaster from the woman who wants to be the most powerful person in the world.
Kamala even supports letting biological men compete against our girls in their sports. Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you.
Yeah, that's a new ad out by the Trump campaign. Kind of playing to another one of his strengths there. A lot of men are like, and a lot of women should be paying attention. That's going to deprive your daughters of victory on the sports field.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about it, about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened.
I'm Donald Trump, and I paid for this message, and I approve this message. That's what the ad is going to sound like. You know it.
Do you think he realized mid-sentence what he was doing there?
I think he did.
And tried to correct?
I think that he did. But, I mean, also, you have to remember who Bill Clinton is. I mean, I'm sure somewhere in my archives here, I've got the Bill Clinton soundbite where I think it was during a State of the Union address where he talked about illegal aliens and stopping the flow of illegals into this country. Because when he was president, he was all about that. And it just shows you how far the Democrats have fallen, how much they've changed since even the mid-90s or whenever Bill Clinton was in office.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's come a long way. Changed a long way. Listen to Bill Clinton here, though. Sort of in the middle of this, and he's campaigning in Georgia for Kamala Harris, where she desperately needs to gain some momentum. If you heard our interview a minute ago with Mark Walters, who lives down there, he says Trump's got the momentum in Georgia. He believes Trump is going to win Georgia, which is one of the states that certainly would help him win the presidency, no doubt about that. But listen to Bill Clinton down there trying to help Kamala, and he makes Donald Trump's point on immigration.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened. But if they're all properly vetted and that doesn't happen, and America is not having enough babies to keep our populations up. Okay. So we need immigrants that have been vetted to do work.
Yeah, my guess is that is not what the Harris campaign wanted him to say.
Not only just as it relates to the illegals and what that has created in our country, but also as it relates to the whole people aren't having enough babies, because I'm not going to say some conservatives don't want to have children, but there are plenty of people on the left who are the feminists who are saying, you don't need a man, you know, children are a burden, why would you have children, that kind of thing.
Well, if we're not having enough babies, how much does abortion play into that? I read a statistic yesterday when I was doing a little bit of research that the number of abortions in this country went up after Roe ended. And the difference being that many of them were pharmaceutical instead of medical
mm-hmm.
abortions.
Yeah, so they're taking
the
pill.
There were closer to 1 million of them. Now, if the birth rate is down in America, that might be one clue as to why. Because you have more people doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Note, I mean, honestly. But here's what else you need to know. Donald Trump is way up when it comes to the issue of the border. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why what Bill Clinton said is so damaging. Listen to this report yesterday by CNN.
Yeah, Caddy. And so, you know, Donald Trump is leaning into the immigration issue because this is his strongest argument. Our poll shows him having a 25-point edge over Harris when it comes to which candidate is better when it comes to immigration and the border.
A 25-point lead over Harris on immigration.
What's interesting to me is you see those polls like the one you just referenced where he has a huge lead over her when it comes to immigration and the economy. But then when you look at who the likely voters say they're going to support, it's a lot more evenly matched. So you acknowledge that Trump would be way better for the economy, way better for our border, all these things. And yet you're still voting for Kamala Harris? Riddle me that. I mean, seriously, someone explain that logic to me.
There's not a whole lot of logic involved in it. Orange man bad.
Oh, I forgot about that. Well, see, and the thing is, I forgot people care that the candidate's born in a middle-class family. And I that is very important to me when I think about the issues.
Unburdened by common sense, Kim. That's kind of what it comes down to. All right, we'll get to a quick break. I did want to play some more of that ad that you heard a minute ago from the Trump campaign on identity politics. I think it's brilliant, and I'm glad they're doing it. We'll get to that. Bottom of the hour, we're going to get attorney Kim Mathis on here. She's studied A3, Amendment 3, thoroughly, and there's a lot of stuff in there. You need to understand what's coming at you on this amendment. We'll be right back.
I'm going to support taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
Hell no, I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to that.
Kamala supports transgender sex changes in jail with our money.
Kamala even supports letting biological men compete against our girls in their sports. Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
Yeah, how about that? Very smart in a year when Donald Trump is polling better right now with African-American men than probably any candidate since Richard Nixon. I mean, it really is doing well. and they're panicked about it. I mean, they've got Barack Obama going to Georgia and all of these states where she needs the African-American vote.
Yeah, and her little effort called Souls to the Polls, going to these churches, trying to target the black churchgoers, saying, hey, you need a vote for me.
You know, we're going to talk more about Amendment 3 coming up here in a few minutes, but my path to Arkansas, of course, takes me down Interstate 44 through what I would assume is some pretty red territory, and then south from Joplin down into Arkansas. And on that entire route, there are huge no on three signs all along the highway.
That's great.
I saw them around Springfield. I saw them around Rolla, around St. James. I saw them as I was headed down, I think it's, is it 49 that cuts down from Joplin into Fayetteville? There were signs down through there. A lot of Trump signs as well, but specifically on the, there's a big lighted sign down, it was down near St. Clair maybe, off 44. There's a church down there that sits right on the interstate, and they have a huge marquee out front, and they had a huge vote no on three sign on their electronic message out there.
You might not think it's a big deal. Oh, what difference does it make if I put a sign out in my yard? I do have my sign out now proudly. But here's the thing. Think about this. Let's say you drive through your neighborhood and you have, you know, let's say 50% of the neighbors have a no on three.
Right.
It makes the other people a little bit nervous to put a yes on three. And if you see that enough, it really can have an impact on when you go to the polls and you forget what that, you don't want to read about it. People are, oh yeah, no on three.
Yeah. Well, I'll just point out this because several people have asked me. I know that the St. Louis County Republican headquarters down there in Gravois Bluffs had some no on three signs. And the St. Charles County Republican headquarters also had some no on three signs. I think you might be able to reach out through Missouri Right to Life. They might know where you could get some if you're not in one of those two areas.
I mean, ask your church. My church was handing them out last weekend, so I would imagine others are as well.
Well, I hope the people are more active in the pulpits on this. I've sensed some hesitation on that on the part of some churches, but this is not an elected official you're endorsing one way or the other. This is a constitutional amendment that might allow abortion up until birth.
It's a biblical issue. This is
theological.
This is not just political.
I don't know why more churches wouldn't be preaching this every Sunday between now and Election Day. And I would pray that they would if they're not doing it now, right?
Absolutely.
It's so vital to get this information out there to counter the tens of millions of dollars flowing in here from outside of Missouri by these evil groups that want to get this thing passed in the state of Missouri. And, of course, they want to drive people to the polls as well. My friend Michelle told me that's the Roots Church out in St. Clair that's got that big sign on the side of it that I saw. Thank you, Michelle, for that text. I appreciate that. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to my friend, Attorney Kim Mathis, who has studied Amendment 3. It's long. It's legal. She's a lawyer. She's going to wade through it for us when we come back. Stay tuned. Don't forget the voter guide is up on the website, 971talk.com. You can get to it on your mobile device. You can get to it on your computer. You can print it, can take it with you. It explains, in my view, all of these amendments and the proposition that are on the ballot statewide in Missouri. Obviously, one of them is Amendment 3, which is the abortion amendment, for lack of a better term. They would call it reproductive health care. I don't think that's the correct way to phrase that. But there's so much in here that you need to know. It's about so much more than just abortion. And I've asked Attorney Kim Mathis to join us this morning and kind of give us her point of view on it. Kim, good morning to you.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Great to talk to you. And thank you for giving us a few minutes today.
Well, I'm happy to call and talk to you about this. I'm an attorney that practices in the area of constitutional law, and most of the cases I've worked on involving constitutional law actually address the Missouri Constitution, not so much the federal Constitution. So I'm very familiar with what happens when the Missouri Constitution is changed, and that's what I think I can talk to you about today.
Yeah.
The amendment is, this isn't a law that we're passing per se. The constitutional amendment will essentially be become part of our Missouri Constitution if it passes. And what it does is it does not allow our legislature, our Missouri House and Senate and governor to touch abortion. That's essentially what it does. And it also doesn't allow our regulators, our Missouri Department of Health, to touch abortion. And so we are taking a representative democracy and just scrapping it in the name of abortion. So I think that's important for everyone to understand. This is not just passing a law. They could have just ended the ban. They could have gone back to, you know, the abortion industry that paid for the initiative petition could have gone back to Roe versus Wade era laws in Missouri where we had very limited abortions. But they didn't. They went a lot further. And I think I can comment on some of those things today and explain how that is happening.
Yeah. And how much further does it go? Well, I mean, would it make Missouri one of the most liberal in the country when it comes to this issue?
I wouldn't say what I would say it would be the most liberal. There are only maybe two other states. I think the District of Columbia, which isn't a state, obviously, but the District of Columbia, and I think Maryland are the only two states that would be similar to Missouri if this passes.
Wow.
What I know you mentioned, obviously, maybe some people think this is just a bill that if it were signed, it would be a law that the House and Senate could potentially overturn. This would be enshrining it into our state constitution. Are there other misconceptions that you often hear people talk about as it relates to Amendment 3?
Absolutely. The first misconception is what you're going to see on your ballot. Okay, when we elected Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, we elected him to do a job, and one of those jobs is to summarize amendments that come before him, summarize initiative petitions. So people run around, they get signatures, and understand these people are paid by the abortion industry to do this. The pro-life industry doesn't have this kind of money because they aren't earning any money with their position. But the abortion industry has the money to run around and get, you know, signatures. Once that comes in, the Secretary of State summarizes it. And I actually have a copy in front of me of what our Secretary of State wrote that would have been on our ballot if the abortion industry hadn't taken him to court to sue him over his language.
Yeah, read it.
So his language says, do you want the Missouri Constitution to... And he has four bullet points. There are five that are currently on here. He wrote, allow for dangerous, unregulated, and unrestricted abortions from conception to live birth without requiring a medical license or potentially being subject to medical malpractice. Second, nullify longstanding Missouri law protecting the right to life, including but not limited to partial birth abortion. Third, allow for laws to be enacted regulating abortion procedures after fetal viability while guaranteeing the right of any woman, including a minor, to end the life of their unborn child at any time, and require the government not to discriminate against persons providing or obtaining an abortion, potentially including taxpayer funding, ? That is how our Secretary of State that we elected summarized this amendment. That, I believe, is an accurate statement of what this amendment does. Now, it was rewritten by a judge, and it was determined that his language that he wrote was too biased or sounded badly. So it's been rewritten, and there are things in the current ballot that, in my opinion, as an attorney, don't reflect the actual words of the amendment. And so that's a real problem for someone like me because we like to see things that line up. Okay.
Sure.
So you have a bunch of people going in to vote on a constitutional amendment and they read the ballot and it's got five sentences. The actual amendment they're voting on, though, unbeknownst to them, is a full single spaced page containing, you know, a lot more than five sentences. And so I can talk a little bit about how the official ballot language is different than the actual amendment, if you'd like.
Yeah, that. And before I run out of time, I also want to get your comments on what else it would do. As in, you know, is it giving people permission? Is it taking away parental rights on child transitions? And, well, that's a big one right there.
Well, okay, let me read what the actual language says. The right to reproductive freedom includes, but is not limited to. Okay, includes, but is not limited to. Prenatal care, childbirth, postpartum care, birth control, abortion care, miscarriage care, and respectful birthing conditions. It doesn't list a hysterectomy. It doesn't list genital changes. But it says including but not limited to. So the question will be up to our most likely Missouri Supreme Court or potentially our Western District Court of Appeals. And by the way, the Western District Court of Appeals rewrote Secretary of State Ashcroft's ballot language.
Right.
So it would go to the same court that rewrote his ballot language to decide whether reproductive freedom and reproductive health care includes those things. As an attorney, I'm uncomfortable with that because I believe it will. Now, it's not listed here, but you have to understand when you practice law and you're looking at such a broad statement, it's extremely broad here. I would be hard pressed to be able to advise a client of mine that you know the court would fall on the side of you know deciding that transitioning care is not included in reproductive care.
Wow. Well, I would strongly encourage Kim people to go read through this. I've tried to preach the how important it is that people be informed before they walk into the booth to vote on all these things. And thank you for giving me a little bit more clarity on it this morning. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And I'd love to get you back on maybe next week and we can talk a little bit more about
this. What actually happened with Amber Thurman, who died because she was given an abortion.
No, absolutely. Why don't we plan that?
I'd like to talk to you about that because her name's come up quite a bit and she would have been okay in Missouri, you know, until Amendment 3 passes and she might have died, you know, if she were in Missouri after Amendment 3 passes. So I'd like to talk to you about that specifically because her story is quite interesting. She died from a medication abortion, actually.
Well, we'll try to get it scheduled for one day next week and spend a little bit more time on this. Kim, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Sure.
All right. Yeah, you bet. Attorney, a constitutional attorney, Kim Mathis there, who's read this thing, and there's a lot of loopholes in it that you're not going to see when you read through it the first time. And you need to understand how dangerous it is, because it is. All right, quick break here. We're going to be back right after this.
You know, there's this whole, I talked with somebody once who said, you know, if you just look at where the stars are in the sky, don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation, what does it show you? So you just outlined it, Roland. What does it show you?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
And all of us are dumber for having listened to it. let me repeat that for you from Billy Madison all those years ago.
Great movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie. Tomorrow night, she is going to sit down with Brett Baer. Have you heard any of the details of that, just out of interest?
No, well, I did see that he was responding to some people critical of him because what's come out is that it's going to be recorded ahead of time. So he says that the campaign, I assume it's the Kamala Harris, obviously it would be the Kamala Harris campaign, had said that they would agree to talk from, I guess, 5 to 5:30. Well, his show comes on at 6. So he said that's why it's not live. But he's been trying to clarify that they're not going to edit it. He said, no, she doesn't have the questions. No one has the questions except for me. And he said that it's going to be as if it were live. He said they're going to literally take what they recorded it and play it back for everybody.
For 30 minutes. No commercials, no nothing.
That's what he said. Huh. No edits.
I wondered about that because it doesn't, if it's recorded, you worry that they've, I don't think Fox would edit anything. But it's just not a lot of time to dig into some of these issues on her. I hope he rides her on immigration, Israel. I mean, there's so many of these big issues. The Second Amendment, fracking. So, I think he will. I think he sees that opportunity, and I believe he'll take advantage of it. I mean, I mentioned this earlier. I interviewed Brett after January 6th, and he and I got into a major disagreement over that whole thing. He was not a Trump fan, but I think he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because even though he's the main anchor for Fox, he's not generally spoken of in the same terms as the main anchors for the big three, NBC, NBC, CBS, despite their ratings. And I think because of that, he's got a little bit of a bone to pick.
Yeah.
So I think he'll do a good job.
I wonder why they said the Harris campaign said 5 to 5:30. Why were they so scared of doing it live? It would be a half hour, an hour difference from the start.
Why won't they do it live? It's a mystery to me. You would think that at that point in time, somebody that has been on the national stage she's 60 years old, for 40 years now, would be able to do a live interview, and Donald Trump does them all the time. It's unbelievable. You know, let me take a moment here just to give a shout out to my friend Steve. Lost his mother yesterday, Virginia Simpson, 105 years old.
Wow.
Lived a great life. He tells me she was a great conservative, a great Christian woman, a great, great grandmother. Spent her last few years in Merrimack Bluffs out in West County, but also a big Cards fan. But what a great life she lived. Virginia Simpson passed away at 105 yesterday. Our condolences to the family, Steve. Sorry to hear that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up here in just a few minutes. And, of course, we'll get to the Annie Fry Show. Mark Reardon a little later today. Kim and I'll see you back here Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great afternoon.
Get more at 971talk.com.